Tight trips to the left side. Sanchez begging for the snap and a shotgun. Sets, throws, pass. Picked off by Andre Goodman. 20, 15, 10. Goodman to the house. Looking like he's going to get max blitzed. He does. Tebow escapes and he can run. 25, 20. Tebow 15. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. Tim Tebow, Denver touchdown. The Jets with a max blitz, zero coverage. Tebow got outside contained and ran 20 yards for a touchdown. 12 plays, 95 yards, 4:56 off the clock. They bring four, pressure, and down he goes, Von Miller. Say hello from the rookie. Von Miller ran right over the top of the right tackle, Wayne Hunter, and hit Mark Sanchez and downed him back inside the 20. Should be last play of the game. Sanchez loads it up, throws it. High, spiraling effort. Bruton comes up. The ball's going to be knocked down, incomplete. And the Broncos, in improbable fashion, have beaten the New York Jets. Final score, Denver 17, New York 13.
Highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. Dave Logan on the call Thursday night as the Broncos beat the New York Jets 17-13 at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall, and after a brief hiatus due to the shortened schedule last week, happy to be back on air and with all of you listening for another edition of Elway Live right here on DenverBroncos.com. Now, like every week, John and I are here to answer your questions. It's really easy to get them to us. Just tweet your question and include the hashtag Elway Live. John, a lot's happened in the last couple of weeks since we had a show. We were on air. We had had the first segment planned out. We're going to put that aside for a moment and talk about the news that was just announced. The Broncos have waived Kyle Orton.
Yeah, we have. And I think that, obviously, first of all, I'd like to thank Kyle for all his work with the Denver Broncos. In the 3 years that he's been here, he's been an absolute pro. And even this year, through in the trying times this year with everything going on, he's handled it like a pro. And he worked well with Timmy in the as well as Brady in the quarterback room, and was a real asset for the Broncos. And we're just thought it was the best for the Broncos at this time, as well as to give Kyle an opportunity to catch on with another team and showcase his talents there. So it's never easy to do anything when you part ways with a player like Kyle Orton and for what he's done for this organization. But, you know, we just thought that at this time it was the best thing for the Broncos as well as the best thing for Kyle.
I think that's what you and head coach John Fox did touch on the most, was that through the change that he was a pro. Coach Fox said during the announcement that was, that stuck out. He was a pro and he really took it the way a pro should.
He really did. And I think that obviously with the situation that we're in, and in the quarterback position is always that way. It's always going to get a lot of attention. And grateful to Kyle, and it was a tough situation for him because every quarterback wants to play. And I think that with the situation that we had here and the way that he handled it, shows what a pro Kyle is. And I think that Kyle's going to have more options in the NFL and get an opportunity to play somewhere else. And we wish him the best of luck.
So there you go, the news that just came out recently, not too long ago, that the Broncos have waived quarterback Kyle Orton. Now, John, going back to what we had set up for the top of the show, a lot has happened since we last had a game. Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, they've collectively recorded 5 more sacks, not to mention they're harassing, they're hitting quarterbacks the way I think you, Dennis Allen, Coach Fox, fans were hoping they would. And Andre Goodman, he ran back a pick for a score for the first time in his career, and not to mention Britton Colquitt, he's continuing that push for a Pro Bowl nomination. He's now third in the league in net punt average, the punt stat that matters most. And Tim Tebow, 2 more games of reps, 2 more games of experience, showing what he can do as a starter, 2 more games without a turnover, and of course he was part of that game-winning touchdown drive that helped the team move to 5-5 last Thursday night. Let's start with Tebow, John. Monday you said on a local radio show that at this point of the season, you're not any closer to knowing if Tim is in the plans long-term at the quarterback position. Can you expand on that for those listening to this show right
Well,
now.
I mean, I think it's the case with anybody, not only the quarterback position, but it's the case with everybody on our football team, is that we're going to look at a body of work throughout this season. And obviously, you know, we got ourselves back in the playoff hunt, so that's our concentration, is to win football games and hopefully win the division and get into the playoffs. And so that's the focus right now. And I think it's always the case that with every player, no matter what position it is, it's a full body of work throughout the whole season. And that's where we are with Tim. We're going to continue to look where he is. You know, like I've said, he continues to make progress week in and week out. And I think that when you look at the Jets game, you know, that 95-yard drive, I think that, you know, because he's done it so many different times, and I think that he's created a belief within the team that until that clock says 0-0 on it, we have a chance to win football games. And he came through again on with that 95-yard drive and then the, you know, the big scramble at the end of the game for the touchdown. And but getting back to your point is, we will look at the full body of work, and then we'll go into the evaluations in this offseason, not only with Tim, but the whole football team.
You assume within that full body of work, he and anyone else out there will be exposed to different situations. They'll see different looks. So let's see how they react to all of them. That's what you're getting
at. Absolutely. And plus with Tim, and you know, he's getting experience week in and week out. He had 3 starts last year. Now he's had 5 this year. And with every snap that you take in live action under live bullets, as a quarterback, you gain that experience. And that's invaluable because you can't get that anywhere else other than playing in football games. And so there's so much more to playing the quarterback position other than, you know, just throwing the football or running the football, but also managing the game and getting him more comfortable with the offense and what we're doing. And so those are the type of things that where Tim is getting the benefit of playing you know, each week and giving us a chance. Like, heck, you know, he's 4-1 as a starter, and the bottom line in this league is to win football games and to win world championships.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. The news of the team waiving quarterback Kyle Orton pushed a couple of your questions back, but I promise we'll get to them. We got plenty lined up. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com.
Trips left, lines up behind Tim, play fake, he throws a Royal on the sideline, he sidesteps a defender and a lot of room to run, and Royal with a nice individual effort there, bounced out of bounds outside the 12. Tebow runs the option, Tim running hard, got a first down, steps out of a tackle, breaks another tackle, out of the 20, out of the 25-yard line, five-man rush, Tebow in the pocket, flush, throws on the run, pass caught, Tebow in the shotgun, steps up on the run, Tim's going to run it again, out of the 45, runs right through Darrell Revis. Tim play fakes, sets in the pocket, sets and throws, and the pass is going to be caught, a sliding effort. That's Dante Rosario, who goes down to make the catch at the 26, first down Denver. Five-man pressure, quarterback counter. Tebow right up the gut, powers his way to the 20. Tebow looking like he's going to get max blitzed. He does. Tebow escapes, and he can run. 25-20. Tebow 15, inside the 10, inside the 5. Are you kidding? Tim Tebow, Denver touchdown.
Once again, those highlights are courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com, and we do take your questions through Twitter. John, let's get right to Abby's question. Abby Cupsworth is asking, that last drive, what's it like inside the huddle when you get the ball? You're staring down 95 yards of grass. You know you need to go down there. In this situation, you kick a field goal to tie it. A lot of players on defense in the locker room saying, hey, go get a touchdown. Let's win it. What's it like in that huddle when you have, I guess let's call it that opportunity, like a lot of players did in front of you?
You know, obviously in that situation, it's a lot less, it's a lot more, I wouldn't say concentrated, but the thing is, you know, it's at the end of the game, you're getting close, and we're really in a situation where we had to make that last drive. I think there was 4 minutes or 5 minutes to go when the offense went on the field. And so you get really concentrated knowing that this is do-or-die situation. And so there's really not nearly as much talking or wondering in the huddle. It's really more everybody knows their job and really concentrates on doing their job. And so, and then, you know, obviously the closer you get, you know, when you can make some plays and the momentum picks up. Obviously, you know, the first play to Eddie, you know, was a swing pass and he's in the end zone and Eddie does a great job of making the guy miss and picks up 10 yards to kind of get us some breathing room. And then from that point on, Tim made a couple good runs and picked up a couple crucial third downs, which in those situations you have to do.
Yeah, let's start with that play that Eddie Royal made. I think if you're watching that from your vantage point, you're looking down, you kind of go, oh, come on. And then Eddie makes a play, and there he goes. And all of a sudden, okay, like you said, you can breathe. Let's keep this drive going. But going back to Abby's question, you can feel that in the huddle leads to the next positive
play.
Yeah,
and the thing is when you look at it, especially with 5 minutes to go, it's not like a two-minute situation
right,
where you're having to hurry to the line. So the time really wasn't of essence, obviously. But, you know, when you look at Eddie's play, you know, he's the type of guy that we're always trying to get in space. And that's why he's a great punt returner also, because you get him some space and he can make people miss. And so, I mean, that's really the genesis of why we call that play and why that play's in there, is to get Eddie in space. And so we got him out there and he was able to break that tackle and pick up the yardage we needed. So, you know, anytime you can do that with those type players, hopefully good things happen.
Anyone there watching the game on TV saw what Tim was able to do with his legs during that drive? After I've caught up a couple games recently, I've seen Dante Rosario making some great tackles on special teams. Talk about that catch he made right about, I think it was just over midfield. That
Well, I mean, that was, I believe it was a third down play, and actually Timmy got he got some pressure and really made a good throw under pressure, and even though Dante went down and made a real good catch, but that was obviously one of the big plays of the drive, because it being a third down play, that it was that important. So Dante's come in and really done a good job.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, stalwart on special teams, and when Daniel went down with a concussion earlier in the game, Dante stepped up and came in and made that big play for us, so he's been a great addition.
Let's go to the score. Sherry Saunders is asking, on Tebow's scoring touchdown run, did he make a good read on the defense's blitz, or was it just an athletic play, or frankly, was it both?
You know, I think that he made, in watching his eyes, when you watch the film, you watch his eyes, he knew what was coming. And I think that he saw the blitz coming and looked both sides, and especially looked to his left. And I think the way they had the blitz is the guy that was blitzing on the outside really had coverage on the tight end. And when the tight end stepped down to block, it caused the DB to step down with him because he had him in man-to-man coverage. And then when he saw him blocking, then that's when the defensive back came off the edge. But Timmy saw him step down and knew that he could get to the edge. And then once he got to the edge, he saw all that green grass in front of him. And, you know, you get him in space like that. He's a big guy. He's tough to bring down. And he broke that tackle to get us in the end zone and win the game.
How did the other 10 players in the field help facilitate that score? And when you saw that dog pile in the end zone, you could just kind of sense what that and that score and that team win meant to this team.
I mean, that's what's exciting. And I think that that's one thing that kind of goes that we don't talk enough about, is what a job John Fox has done as far as getting the players to play with passion and play for each other. And I think that that was a, you know, an indication of, you know, what the game means to those guys, and plus the excitement of being able to come back, even though we hadn't had a lot of success earlier in the game, to be able to put that game-winning drive, and that they're all in this together. And that's what creates a team. And so to me, when I watch that as a player, that's the thing that I get most excited about, because that's when you get to celebrate with the guys that really make it happen.
Not just that, but let's look at the team you beat, the team that has gone pretty far in the playoffs the last couple of years. I think the AFC Championship game, the last 2 years. This is a good team. This is a playoff caliber team. This is a good measuring stick for where this team has now come at this point of the year, especially as Coach said earlier this week, games start to count. They mean a lot in November and December.
They really do, and it was an important game, especially on a short week and in our backyard and creating that Mile High Magic again, which Tim is on his way to do. And I think that, you know, when you play the Jets, who are a very good defensive team, you know, to be able to see our defense step up like they did and really keep us in the football game and give us an opportunity late in the game to have a chance to win it and even tie it in that situation. So, you know, that really, when you look at that, it was a team win. Offensively, even though we didn't have a lot of success, we didn't beat ourselves, and we didn't make the mistake and turn the ball over, and then we're able to put the plays together at the end to win it. But the defense is playing, you know, has been playing tremendous, as you mentioned earlier with Vaughn and Elvis, and the pass rush that we created, you know, really got in Sanchez's face the whole night, and we're able to make the big plays when we need them. Goody, as you said, with the interception to I think it was 10-3 at that time, or 10-10 at that time, to keep us going and keep us in the football game. So defensively, you know, it was a tremendous effort.
You're hitting that right on cue, John. We have a lot of good questions from you out there from Twitter about our defense. We'll get to those right after a short break. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com.
Pressure on him now. Sanchez is going to be hit by Elvis Dumervil, and down he goes. Snap over the head of Mark Sanchez, who races back to get it. He falls on it back at the 20. Sanchez gives to Sean Green in the ISO, and Green is blasted by Marcus Thomas. Play fake now. Sanchez in the pocket. Avoids one and pulled down from behind on a diving effort by Elvis Dumervil. It'll go as a sack out of the 25 to 30. McKnight runs through a tackle. Still on his feet. Follows the football, and I think Cassius Vaughn has it. John Fox is all the way out, almost into the melee. Denver's football.
I just thank the good Lord for those players in that locker room that they keep battling, and that's why they call it a team effort. It was we had some struggles, you know, in some phases of our game, but you know they've done it really the last 3 out of 5 weeks, where you know they found a way in the fourth quarter to win the game, and I guess that's why they call it a team game.
Highlights once again courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. You also heard from head coach John Fox shortly after the Broncos' 17-13 win over the Jets last Thursday night. Let's go right back to the defense, John. Autumn O'Neill is asking, do you think now with how this defense has come together after 10 games, are Broncos fans starting to see what Dennis Allen is all about as a D coordinator, what he was hoping to infuse into his players?
No question. I think that, you know, we're very fortunate to have Dennis Allen. He's a young, bright, aggressive defensive coordinator that has been, you know, has been great since John hired him. And I think that, you know, the one thing that's really important is that when you look at the defense and how much better they've been playing, I think that they're getting more accustomed to Dennis, more accustomed to the system, and really starting to understand what the concept of the whole system is, and therefore they're starting to play a little bit more within the system rather than having to think, because with not having the off season, you know, it was very difficult. And so the defense was brand new to everybody going into training camp, not
because we didn't have the off-season program. And so that made it much more difficult to really get everybody on the same page, get the understanding of the defense. And so I think that what we're seeing now is guys understanding the defense, feeling comfortable with it, and playing within the defense, which is playing the great team defense.
I think something we're also hearing more and more as fans listening just heard at the bump coming out of that last break are highlights made by guys, plays made by guys on that inside too, Marcus Thomas, all those guys who are now making some more plays, looking a lot better themselves. Marcus Thomas, now you know he's probably feeling healthier. These guys are helping contribute too. When some folks were kind of asking Coach during camp and during earlier part of the season about the interior, how's the interior part of this line coming together?
Well, they're actually playing very well. And obviously going into camp, that was a big concern. And then we had the injuries in camp, Marcus Thomas with the pec. And then when he got done with the pec, he ended up hurting a thigh. And so, he was late coming in. We lose Ty Warren to the tricep in training camp. And then we were able to trade for Broderick Bunkley, who has really been a pleasant surprise for us and really been a guy that's taken over that middle. And not only, again, we talked about the guys that we have, he's been a guy that's really taken over the leadership role on the defensive line, and it's been really big for us as far as having that type of leader. And then Ryan McBean has been playing very well also. So they've really solidified, those three guys have really solidified that inside. Mitch Unrein coming in and spelling them at times. And so that's been a very positive thing that's happened. And the credit goes to Wayne Nunley. He's got them playing well, our defensive line coach playing well, and then obviously with Vaughn and even Hunter at the ends and Robert Ayers at the ends have all been playing very well too. So, the credit there goes to Wayne and plus those guys playing very, very hard.
Those guys do what they're asked to do, hopefully stuff up that middle, prevent that run game from the opposition getting going. It gives guys like Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil to get after it. Jason's wondering, at this point now, I know you guys drafted Vaughn for a reason. Are you at all surprised, Jason asks, by how well Vaughn is playing in this, his rookie year?
Well, I know that we had high expectations. Anytime right. you're the second pick in the draft, there's always high expectations. And we had high expectations of Vaughn because of what we saw and what he did in college and what we saw on tape. And I think that he's probably exceeded our expectations as a rookie. Coming in and being him making the plays that he's made. I think that obviously you get excited when you make a choice like Von Miller and have those expectations, and he comes up and really exceeds the expectations. And we really think he's just scratching the surface. And so, you look at him as a rookie, I think he has eight and a half or nine sacks now that, we couldn't have hoped for any better.
This next question before we go to break, this could be one of the best questions we've had on the show. It comes from Joel. Joel's a Browns fan, John, so keep that in mind. He's wondering if Cleveland had Von Miller on its team 25 years ago, do you think there'd be a such thing as the drive?
That's a good question. Obviously, we would even though the Browns were very, very good on defense back in those days, that I'm just glad he wasn't on that defense. I'm not sure if history would have been changed or not with Von on that defense, but I know that he could have helped them very much with his ability to rush a passer.
Maybe to make some different throws.
That's right. You never know.
Thanks for sending in your questions with John Elway. I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live. We got one more segment left. We'll get to as many questions as we can. We'll be right back in 60 seconds.
When everybody's against you and doubting you, I mean, that's all you hear all week, how bad we are. I mean, now we're .500 team right now. then, you know, we definitely got to look to the next one. But we're going to enjoy this one. And I mean, it's big because this is a good football team. And we put a lot of work into this.
There's something about being conventional and unconventional. Neither one of those things matter if you're winning.
Guys in this locker room, you know, we got short-term memory. You know, when a lot of people say we can't, we believe we can. And we just keep fighting. You know, that's all we know. And, you know, that's the one thing I credit Coach Fox for doing is getting guys that are going to fight. You know, I don't really know what the outcome of the season is going to be, but I know one thing, at the end of the season, no one's going to say the Denver Broncos gave up.
You just go out and plug, continue to plug, and, you know, believing in the end that some type of way, that offense, you know, with offensive line protection and Tim doing what he does in crunch time, we're going to find a way.
Back on Elway Live, you heard from Champ Bailey, Brian Dawkins, and Robert Ayers all talking to the press after the Broncos win last Thursday, which is already seems like kind of a while ago, John. There's going to be a good period there between the guys get back out on the field and get to hit someone else other than each other during practice. Kind of a mid-season break that's not quite the bye. Is this help a team when you're trying to get a little bit healthier at this point?
You know, it really is. It really helps, especially when you win that Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And then you have the bye, you know, you have the longer following week. But obviously it gives guys, especially at this point in time in the season, 11 weeks into the season with guys being able to heal up and get a weekend to kind of relax a little bit, and then you know, got back to work a little bit yesterday. And so it is a good thing for us to be able to make the run. Obviously, we're right in the hunt. And, you know, going into the season, you always want to be at this point in time, if you're a hunt for the playoffs and you can control your own destiny, that's where you want to be. So hopefully we can go out and finish strong and go down to San Diego and play well down there.
Daniel's wondering, how different are the Broncos and Chargers this week coming up? Since they faced each other, Broncos, you know, 4-1, Chargers been 0-5 since then.
Well, I think that when you look at it, and obviously the Chargers are a very talented team. You know, Rivers is one of the top echelon quarterbacks in the league, and we've struggled against the Chargers. I think the last time we beat them was 0-9, the first time we played them in 0-9, and so we've struggled. Obviously, the Chargers have lost five in a row. They're having a tough time. They've had some injuries that have hurt them. But we know that they're going to be ready to play. They can still make the playoffs too, and this is a crucial time of year. So we're going to have to be ready to go down there and play one of our best football games to be able to beat them.
And going to San Diego, that is certainly a tough place to play. Before the players really dig into their Charger prep this week, they had a practice on Monday. Coach referred to it kind of as a self-scouting day, a chance to shore up some techniques, some fundamentals. I talked to Von Miller about just that in the locker room after practice. Is that sort of a valuable time you could sneak a practice in like that when you still have an opponent coming up in 6 days?
Yeah, it is. And I think that, you know, especially after a long weekend and a win, to get out there and get the blood flowing again and start getting active and getting ready to go. And then they had the day off today and then be ready to go game plan tomorrow and get back on a normal schedule.
Well, as John said, we will be going to San Diego on Saturday to face the Chargers. Broncos 5-5 heading into this week's game. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. This has been Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. If you want to catch up on any of the podcasts, just visit DenverBroncos.com/Elway Live. Thanks again for your questions. We'll have another episode next week.